5, Side A, Senate Committee on Elections, April 21st, 1981, Hearing Room C, Hearing and Work Session on SB 422, SB 610, SB 623, SB 688, SB 750, SB 856, Work Session Only on SB 420, SB 650, SB 746, SJR 8.
Come to order, and we will begin with our work session only. And we'll start with Senate Bill 746. And Frank, would you outline what needs to be done there?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Pardon? 746. Mrs. Powles, we have some proposed amendments.
We have some proposed amendments to SB 746. What they basically do is provide new language for that which appears in paragraph 3 of the existing bill.
You see the proposed amendments?
I move the proposed amendments, SB 746-1, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator McCoy moves proposed amendments, SB 746-1. Is there any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Gresham?
Aye.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Bullock?
Aye.
Senator McCoy moves SB 746 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Gresham?
Aye.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Bullock?
Aye.
Okay, let's move to Senate Bill 650. Frank, would you discuss this one briefly?
Thank you. That's such a pile of material today.
Okay, this is one where you want to delete lines 21 through 24.
746.
Senator Hanlon, do you wish to participate in this on 650?
Well,
I believe what you had recommended, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that lines 21 through 24 be deleted. Is that correct?
On no, page that one? Was not my recommendation.
Okay.
But I have no...
I recall. That was Senator Brown's concern, wasn't it?
As I said, I don't think the bill ought to stand or fall on that, but I made my...
Okay.
I
would, it's not necessary no that be removed, though, actually. As I recall the discussion. So the bill could go as is. What is the committee's desire with 650? Not very desirable, is it?
I'm trying to
Well, Mr. Chairman, do we
remember what the discussion was?
Do we need a fiscal impact statement for this?
No, you do not.
Well, we have one, though.
We have one.
Got it right. You've got it right there.
$2,000. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I will move Senate Bill 650.
Fine. Senator McCoy moves Senate Bill 650 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Senator Isham.
There was a discussion about Section 3. And I'm trying to remember what the issue was.
The discussion came on in Section 3, lines 21 through 24, and there was a difference of opinion as to who could use legislative counsel and what the procedure was.
There already is a procedure.
There already is a procedure.
Yeah.
With 50 signatures and going before the legislative counsel committee, one can get permission to go to counsel.
Mm-hmm. That is now, what's the first part of Section 3?
Well, that's just directing legislative council to...
They prepare it 100 days before.
Yeah.
This has to be prepared 100 days before.
That's correct.
Well, I don't see any reason to have a duplicative procedure. You'd use one or the other.
You mean
under sub four?
Oh.
Okay, sub four could be removed if you chose to.
Yeah, I don't.
You want to amend your motion?
If you want to take it out, it's just fine with me. I don't.
Well, let's see how people feel about it. Senator Simmons, did you want to?
Do we have a staff analysis of that?
Yes, we do, Senator. Yeah.
Frank, don't you? Senator Isham.
It would be my desire to just remove Section 3 and vote the bill out the way it is.
To remove
Section 3. Rather than have legislative council committee hold hearings on the initiative.
Okay, to remove Section 3 entirely.
Yeah, okay. I think the rest of the bill has a lot of merit. So.
Yeah, I think that would eliminate that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I amend my motion to delete Section 3 and number Section 4, 3, and on down through.
Accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Accordingly.
Okay, Senator McCoy moves Senate Bill 650 as with his proposed amendments, deleting Section 3 and renumbering accordingly to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Isham?
Aye.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Senator Bullock?
Aye. Okay, we'll move to Senate Bill 420.
That's better than nothing, Senator Hamlin.
I'm not satisfied with the amendment.
Well, maybe we ought to bring the bill back to table.
Senator Hanlon, would you like to give us the benefit of your thinking on that, please?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the heart of the bill is the Legislative Council Committee review and the history that could be built up in that process. Without Section 3, I don't see that we have much. Now, sub 4 of Section 3, as I said before, is not something that the bill should stand or fall on. But if you recall my testimony, Mr. Chairman, it was based upon our experience in 78 when we had Proposition 13 up here at ballot measure 6. And I believe to this day that the real reason why the Oregon public was able to make a rational decision on that was because legislative council, or in that case, a special committee, held an exhaustive public hearing. And we had staff report to what the bill would do or what it would not do. We had public testimony, pro and con. We developed a great body of knowledge about the bill, and I think that enabled the people to make a decision. Now that, to me, is the heart of 650, is this public hearing, which begins with an analysis by legislative council, followed by public comment, developing a history that the campaigners either for or against could draw upon.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
There is duplication, though, if you include Section 4. Right? Or that's the way I'd see it.
No, Section 4 is just a sort of an addendum, an extra thing that would be done. Not later than the 20th day after conclusion of the hearing, the council committee, legislative council, shall issue an advisory report. And
Yeah.
Section four is...
Yeah, making a recommendation on the measure, making a recommendation on the measure at that time. But in section two, the last, on line 18, they say, at the hearing, the legislative council presents its analysis of the measure. I don't know what else they need to do.
Is there further discussion?
Well, was the, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, was the motion to delete section three?
That's what it was.
Yes.
But I can, you know, if you want that to remain, as you say, that is the heart, maybe that is the heart of the matter. What happens with legislative council?
That is
and the
bill.
Public.
That is
and
the bill.
Opponents, yeah, that's so, yeah, that's fine.
Senator Isham.
The reason that I proposed removing section three is that I see the initiative as being the people's process. The legislature has its own process of passing law.
Yeah.
I don't think the two should be mixed. I don't really object to legislature using some of its services to help the public write laws that conform with the form and style of our laws, but I think the initiative process should not be encumbered or influenced by the legislature. And that's why I'm opposed to Section 3, but the rest of the bill I think is good.
Yeah. Well, what I think that Senator Hanlon is about is that this is the process that they've gone through before. You went through this process before, but it wasn't a process that you had to go through. It was just something that you happened to have gone through and found that it was a good, workable idea. Is that right?
That's right, Senator McCoy. My argument would be that once a measure gets on the ballot, it's very much public property. And we did discuss that one in detail and render a public service, and I would hope that we could do the same with others. We're not interfering in any way with getting it on the ballot. We're helping the people by Section 2 here, which already exists in other laws we've discovered, that we're aiding the initiative process, aiding the petitioner to produce a measure that is technically correct and will do what he or she wants it to do. But once it gets on the ballot, it's very much public property, and my thought was that we would be rendering the people of this state a service by giving them a forum to come down and talk about it.
The reasons and initiatives come about is because the public perceives that we have not provided them a service. That's the reason for the initiative, to overrule the legislature. And now here we're going to try to superimpose the legislature on the people's process, and I have a philosophical disagreement with that. And therefore, I wanted to save as much of your bill as possible, so and still be able to vote for the bill, so that's why I recommend voting to delete Section 3.
Well, my feeling, Mr. Chairman, if you don't have the votes for Section 3, I don't think there's anything else in the bill worth dealing with, because we already have a provision that the citizen can walk in and get legislative council service, and that's all that's left when you take Section 3 out.
Okay, is there any further discussion on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, could we hear from the Secretary of State's office?
I don't know if we can if they choose to, but they're saying they're not particularly interested in. I know. Okay, is there any further discussion? Okay. Thank you very much. We will move to Senate Bill 420. And the committee assistant will outline the proposed amendments.
Well, as the committee members may recall, we've heard a great deal of testimony about SB 420. And the at an earlier hearing, the Department of Justice proposed amendments to the bill, which the Assistant Secretary of State commented on at some length at our last hearing, pointing out three areas that seem where additional work could be done. And all of you have before you, in fact, two sets of proposed amendments, one of them being those that the Justice Department brought in, and the other being the set that I prepared with reference to the comments that were made by the Secretary of State's office. If you put those two side by side, you can see that what I basically have done is expand the language of the bill so that it no longer is talking just about state agencies, but also county, district, and local agencies, which was a point that had been raised by Mr. McMurdo, that it might be desirable to extend the scope of the bill downward to include those agencies as well. And Mr. McMurdo also mentioned that Chapter 260 defined the term measure to mean ballot measure, so that obviated the Department of Justice proposal to insert the word ballot under the list of items for which state agency funds mightn't be used. Also, at the end of 420, paragraph 3, there was a definition of state agency which applied so long as we were discussing only the expenditure of state agency funds. By expanding that up above to include county, district, or local agencies, it became necessary then to amend that definition, changing it from state agency to agency in order to allow a broader spell out on what kinds of agencies might be involved there. You'll note, though, that the amendments I prepared include the Department of Justice's proposed amendment at the bottom of the page to have agency include any commodity or trade commission or council which is created by statute. I amplified by statute to read by statute or ordinance, since those kinds of organizations, when created at the district or local level, county district or local level, would not be statutorily created. So in summary, I can say that we have the Department of Justice amendments somewhat amplified.
Is there discussion on these proposed amendments?
I have a little trouble with the state, or with the county or a local agency, a school district, for example, not being able to provide adequate information for the purpose of promoting a tax levy. I know in Washington County, we just went through a crisis of funding, and had it not been for Herculean activities on the part of the county commission, the measure probably would not have passed. I'm not sure that they use county funds. I know they use county stationery and mileage, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there further discussion about the bill and or amendments?
Mr. Chairman, what...
Senator McCoy.
What happens in the case of a school district using office space, monies or whatever to help in a school bond levy.
What do you mean, what happens?
I mean, I guess this does include, it says, it means any board, commission, department. Do you look into that? Do you look into that?
Frank.
Right.
Greg, did you wish to speak to these?
I don't have the amendments, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Would you get the amendments for him?
I'm not sure in my own mind, Mr. Chairman, that the commissions that are collecting the funds by assessment of their own members aren't entitled to spend it as they wish. I would go along with under Section 2, A, B, and E, but I think C and D might...
No, you're looking at which?
At the reprint of Senate Bill 420.
Okay. And go through that again for me.
Well, I would think that for the commission to support a political committee or a nomination or election of a candidate, the recall of an office holder might be properly proscribed, but I am inclined to think that the work of the commissions who are working with voluntary assessments might properly include opposition or support of a particular amendment or a particular initiative or referral.
So if you were to propose an amendment to this bill, you would delete lines 9 and 10?
Right.
Okay.
I think on line 10, if anyone from one of the commissions or their staff were appearing at one of our hearings, that's promoting the adoption of or opposing the adoption of a measure, that would be an unwise prohibition.
The only problem, Mr. Chairman, with the commissions doing that is that they are technically under the auspices of the state. And they are doing things in the name of the state. And that's the problem I have with that.
They're spending their own money.
Well, it's not their own money. It's not their own money.
It is if they elected not to be assessed.
Yeah, but...
Let's have Mr. McMurdo explain.
Well, that's a real technicality, I think.
Explain the line of thought that he explained last week.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I might note the amendments exclude cities. I don't know if that was intended or not, but they are not a county or a district. The logic, I think, is really quite simple. We have a statute now that prohibits the employee of any public entity from politicking while on the job during working hours. That's part of the election code. It seems to me if we want a statute that prohibits a public entity from making expenditures for any of the purposes enumerated in this bill, it ought to include, again, any public entity. I don't know why we should distinguish between the state with respect to spending money, but then prohibit all public employees of any, the city, county, state, or any political subdivision from participating. As a practical matter, almost any time, and it's very hard for me to conceive of a time where, as Senator Simmons indicated, where our county is involved in promoting a levy where you do not have any illegal activity on the part of that county, and a county employee is being used to type the letter on the county letterhead. Now, granted, the use of the letterhead, while not an election violation, is undoubtedly a violation of local budget law, but certainly the use of that employee is a violation of state election laws. The two have to fit together. So that's, in a nutshell, my
In looking reason. At these amendments, if the amendments included cities, do they follow your line of thought
right
fairly closely?
Very closely. Or you could you could simply, well, that wouldn't work because the prohibition on employees speaks of public employee. But right, if the word city was included, then it would pick up everything that would be prohibited as far as the conduct of employees of various public entities. Or you could be somewhat, I suppose, more general and simply include political subdivision of the state.
What you're also saying, though, is that what this would bar is actually, in most cases, illegal at present, one way or another.
Right. It would make it an election offense instead of a violation of local budget law with respect to local units of government.
And sometimes local budget law isn't enforced because it's in the best interest of the local budget not to enforce it.
Oftentimes, the district attorney is very reluctant to do so, and taxpayers' suits are expensive, and that's quite correct.
Aren't C and D identical here?
Now, we're talking about which?
On your amendments.
Amendments. C and D.
C is D.
C is D. How does that happen?
Well, I think probably they meant the D from the other, which pertains to adoption of a measure, which I look at the...
Oh, yeah. It's just typographical.
Correct. Bill Gary, do you want to join us, too? It's Bill Gary from the Department of Justice, who...
Mr. Chairman, I
proposed
really
some amendments at the last meeting. Senator McCoy.
Yeah, I'd just like to go back and just take care of just a state agency instead of getting into a city and county and all the rest.
Okay, does anyone want to make a motion?
I'm just talking. This is a work session, so yeah. We're just talking it out.
Mr. Chairman. Bill Gary, do you want to make some comments about your amendments? Or your proposals?
Mr. Chairman, the proposed amendments that I have before me, which I assume are prepared by the committee and incorporate our proposed amendments as well as Mr. McMurdo's, are fine. It involves the policy judgment that the committee has to make about whether you want to include local government bodies. And it addresses all of the concerns that we raised and I think would accomplish what the committee seeks to accomplish with respect to trade and commodity commissions, if that's your desire.
Is there discussion? About the bill or the amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Isham.
Do you see anything in the proposed committee amendments that would prevent a public body from promoting the adoption of a measure before the legislature?
Not as it's written, because I think C and D are identical, and I think that originally D was intended to relate to the promoting the adoption of a measure which had been referred or had gotten on the ballot by initiative. I assume that's a typographical error.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Brown.
I would support having it include county and cities. I know that some years ago I had an experience with a Lake Oswego referral where the city fathers put this proposed bond issue on the ballot for a municipal park, but then took a position against it, and they used private funds to put ads in the newspaper against this measure. And had they used public funds to fight the measure, I'm sure there had been a lot of bad feelings in the town, and they had the good judgment not to do so. I think it it should include the counties and cities. I think use of someone typing a letterhead for purposes of a budget proposal, I think, would be not within the spirit of the prohibition here. Technically, it would be, maybe.
Now, are you, by saying that, proposing that it not include districts or local agencies?
I think it should include everything.
All right, so you basically are saying you support this
full bore.
Full bore.
Mr. Chairman, who Senator better than the members of a county commission, for example, are able to explain and promote a tax levy?
Well, this wouldn't preclude them from explaining it or promoting it.
Well, if they're explaining it by a letter written by a county secretary or by mailings of information.
Do either of you want to address that?
Well, certainly an elected official. I think we've never used, we would not use this statute, nor have we ever used the statute prohibiting political activities of employees to apply to an elected official. I think it's incumbent upon elected officials to express their views on virtually anything that they want to. That's what they're elected to do. Merely typing a letter, I suppose, in response to a direct question from a constituent, I don't think that we would feel violated the spirit of the statute or the one on public employees. However, sending out 12,000 letters taking a position on county letterhead and at county expense using county employees, we would definitely take a dim view at, and undoubtedly the Attorney General concurred prosecute.
How about a member of the legislature who uses state paper and Xerox and employees' time, but not on a letterhead?
That's already prohibited under current law.
They shouldn't be doing it.
Well, it's been done.
Well, if you know it's been done, you have an obligation to notify our office.
Having the last session, I think your office was notified, but at least there was corrective action taken by the Speaker of the House, as I recall.
Right. I think I'm aware of what you're talking about.
I would not support something like that, but I do think that going back to my own county again, Washington County, in this last ballot measure, certainly the promotion of the measure by the county commission using whatever...